and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Yeah.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Let's get him hard.
Pedro Fernandez.
Better grab me quick before my knees give way.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California for another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, never duplicated, here we sit, 37 years of radio presence. My name is Pedro Fernandez, and welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Well, a plethora of things to talk about in the world of combat sports. Of course, we've got the lightweight champion, the new world lightweight champion. Talk about King Teofimo Lopez. Of course, Brooklyn, New York, originally from Honduras, still undefeated, a 4-1 underdog, lick Vasyl Lomachenko. I don't say lick him like a stamp, but if you win the first 7 rounds of a fight, and guess what? The guy wins 4 of the last 5, that doesn't make the fight close. It's still a rout. You know what I'm saying? Because a fight of 12 rounds is 12 little fights. Well, guess what? Teofimo won the first 7, so after that, it was just history, unless Vasyl Lomachenko were to respond with a knockout. He didn't. He didn't even come close. At the end of the night, it was all about the new king, King Teofimo Lopez, king of the lightweight division. Of course, the future, maybe Gervonta Davis, maybe Leo Santa Cruz if he can pull off the big upset, but Gervonta Davis, of course, and, man, people like, gotta be running for Ryan Garcia's gotta be running. I mean, I seen Ryan Garcia get lit up on the internet a couple of weeks ago, but he's gotta be thinking, am I in this league? Is Pedro thinking too much of me? Am I just an internet bot like everybody says? Am I the, and of course, and you've got Devin Haney, the lightweight champion of the WBC, or is he? I thought that, you know, the undisputed lightweight championship went down last week, so now Devin Haney's saying he still has a WBC belt. I don't know. I'm confused. The bottom line is, Teofimo is going to end all the confusion when he takes on Devin Haney, probably in January. February. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California, live on Twitch.tv. Check out the Sports Byline USA channel. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Well put. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Last night, a trio of 115-pound fighters were on TV. Juan Francisco Estrada was a winner. Of course, he looked pretty good. He got off the deck and stopped Carlos Quadras late in the fight. Roman Gonzalez, remember him? Chocolito was a winner of a guy named Israel Gonzalez. And outside of that, the rest of the card was sort of ho-hum. At the end of the day, of course, Chocolito's coming back, but is he really coming back? I mean, here's a guy that was starched not once but twice, or beat up not once but twice. Straw at the end of the day by that guy from Thailand. At the end of the day, I think he's lost his luster, and I think they're just pumping him up, I guess, for one more title run. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, that was last night. Tonight, we've got boxing on Showtime. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But, of course, Khabib Nurmagomedov, of course, defending that title, that lightweight championship of the UFC, of course, against Justin Gaethje. Man, these guys are going to go at 155 pounds. What can I say? That is the scariest fight in the entire world for anybody is fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov, because I'm telling you, outside of Socrates Palmer, he absolutely scares the snot out of me. Is the king ready to go? How are you this morning, sir?
Thank you for the kind words. How's it going, P?
Well, if you can make 55, I'd put you in with Khabib. Of course, I'd bet all my money on Khabib, though, bro.
As you should. As you should, sir. I was actually, my brother's a big MMA guy, and he reminded me that it's this afternoon, so I will be looking forward to that.
Yeah, sure. after I think the show, it'll start about, I think 5 p.m. The actual main event goes about 5 or 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, so that's in just a couple of hours. Let's talk about last week's fight. Of course, you picked the upset winner, a 4-1 underdog. Of course, we'll talk about Teofimo Lopez, and if you wanted just simple math, I mean, you ran off the first 7 rounds. Why was there so much controversy after 12 rounds, I mean, some people were scratching their head saying, oh, I thought that Vasyl Lomachenko might have won. Listen, if he won four of the last five rounds and we have a 12-round fight, that figures to me to be an 8-4 number. So 8-4, I don't see how Vasyl Lomachenko wins that fight if it's an 8-4 fight. Is it just that they're looking at the end or they just don't score a fight? Is that it or what?
Well, sometimes when it depends. What's happened to me when I was younger, when you're rooting for a guy and your attention is focused on your guy, you only look at what your guy does. And I think you kind of get clouded in your rooting interest and you don't become objective. It clouds your objectivity. I thought that Lopez clearly won out of the first six, let's say five. I think I had it 5-1. Mm-hmm. And then Lomachenko came on, but Lopez stood his ground from 11, you know, even in the 11th round where Lomachenko clearly won, it wasn't a laid down round for Lopez. Lopez, you could tell, was like, he still had enough in the gas tank. And in the 12th round, he sealed the deal. And, you know, even that, if you're the biggest Lomachenko, you know, fanboy, at worst, 7-5. You know, Andre Ward had it a draw. I saw Julie Letterman was getting ripped, 119, 111. You know, maybe she's off by a round or so. But my good buddy Scott Schaefer had it the same way, you know. So from BoxingTalk.com. So, you know, that's why we have judges, you know. And I think at the end of the day, the right man received the right decision. And we are in the era of Teofimo Lopez. Long live the king.
No doubt about it. I scored it 9-3 and then with a question mark on the second round and was looking to give Vasyl Lomachenko the benefit of any doubt. So I gave him the second round and it would be an 8-4. I'm talking about 116, 112, and I think that's when one of the judges had it. But, you know, if you look at it the other way, Vasyl Lomachenko came to fight. He wasn't leery of Mr. Lopez. He didn't even have a rematch clause signed in the contract. And when I told Hector Martinez that, the former manager, Roberto Duran, I could see him scratching his head through the phone. He said, what? Yeah, I said, yeah. I go, they didn't have a rematch clause in the contract. He goes, that doesn't sound like a good manager.
Wow, that shocks me. And normally, the gentleman's name, I'm going to butcher his name, Killian, that he manages that whole Soviet bloc crew over there, you know, and he's done a great job, you know, with all his fires. I'm shocked that there was no rematch clause. It's funny, at the end of the night, when I saw Lomachenko kind of just storm out the ring, I said, you know what, I think that guy might have retired. You know, he might take his ball and go home. You know, very proud guy, you know, and I think deep down he knows that he doesn't have it anymore. He's not the elite guy that he was just 2 years ago. You know, he's come back to the pack, so to speak.
You know what's a little bit funny is that if Bob Arum was really, really looking out for Vasyl Lomachenko, he'd have had that clause put in the contract. You know where I'm coming from, if he was a promoter. But he was looking at the other side. I mean, he's got an American, a brash American kid that can speak Spanish. And the fact that Lopez showed up in the suit and tie at the post-fight press conference, it was very respectful for the most part. I mean, he did call Devin Haney the email champion, which is Devin Haney the email champion? I got it. You're the PhD of boxing. Is that about right? Is he the internet champion or what?
No disrespect to Devin Haney. It's not even a knock on Devin Haney. It's a knock on the WBC that they made up this bogus title. And, you know, it's, you know what? And it's no fault of Devin Haney. What's he going to say? No, I don't want it. You know, he's a product of today's boxing. And is he a real world champion? Absolutely not. And, you know, he's got a big mouth. He's very brash. I think he's his own biggest fan. He said some racist stuff and got away with it, you know, with the double standard that exists. So any bad pub or any trolling that Teofimo gives him is well deserved.
What? You know, he came up with the racist comments and this and that. A white guy would never beat him and things like that. You know, I didn't like, some guys say it and they say it in passing. But he didn't say it in passing. He said it again and again and again and again. He was like trying to get this vibe out there that he was like a bit on the racist side. He doesn't need to do that. Here's a guy that has absolutely no fan base. He was from San Francisco, California. If I walked him down Market Street today, as God is my witness, I don't think anybody in the world would recognize him.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, listen, I know when you're young, you say stupid things, and I guess that's what our youth is for, to make mistakes. But, you know, sometimes people's mouths are faster than their brain. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. You know what? The white fighter has had a renaissance, man. I mean, just look at the rankings. I mean, the baddest man on the planet is a 6'9" white boy who sings his ass off in Tyson Fury. So, you know, it's just stupid immaturity. You asked me if he's the internet champion. He's a paper champion until he beats a credible fighter. He's going to go against Yorkis Gamboa. Would have been a hell of a fight if Gamboa had the time machine 10 years ago. But it's a win against Gamboa. What does it really do?
Well, you know, here's what's up. I've got the oxygen tank ringside for Gamboa between rounds. I mean, he's 38 years old. He's got a good record, but he's so long in the tooth. I mean, he was using Just for Men 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, you know what? And I think he might be generous about calling him 38, because almost everyone in that amateur class that he was in, Miguel Cotto, those guys are 40 now. So if he's 38, okay.
Well, you know, I told you that in the past, Cuban fighters, Diabelli's Hurtado was not one of them, but he copped to the fact that when they came over here, they said, what's your birth date? And whatever birth date you gave them, that was sort of it. You know where I'm coming from? So that's why you saw those Cuban baseball players in high school that looked like Bob Gibson. I mean, holy cow, these guys got hair on their face, the whole nine yards. The Cubans are notorious for lying about their age, especially going from the amateurs to professional ranks, as far as that. And who better to prove that point than Joel Casamayor? I thought he was like 90 going on 115 his entire career, but of course he was the 1992 Olympic gold medalist. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. When we come back, we'll spend some more time with, of course, boxing's only PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer from the Bronx. And of course, we'll hear post-fight from both Vasyl Lomachenko, not too happy, and of course, Teofimo Lopez, ecstatic. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of combat sports, where two things matter, kicking ass and taking names, and we do that on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
The thing is that I'm still in his brain, I'm still in his mind. I'm the guy that he wants to get rid of.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You sure know your boxing?
Well, all I know is never bet on the white guy.
Yeah.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. Sing along if you know the words.
World linear heavyweight champion Tyson Fury doing his thing. Yeah, he can sing, or at least he thinks he can. Who's going to tell him he can? He's 6'9". You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. I mean, come on, if he stands up at a karaoke party and takes over, what are you going to do? Not much. Just sit there and listen or leave. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, tonight, Showtime's going to go with a car with a guy named by the name of Custio Clayton, who comes in 18-0. They're going to do this from Connecticut against a guy named Sergey Lipinets. Of course, this is from IBF interim title, 16-1, 12 KOs is Lipinets. Of course, that's going to be on Showtime. And, of course, the world of the UFC is rocking and rolling as I speak, I believe, from the country of Dubai. Of course, the world lightweight champion Khabib Nurmagomedov, I said it right, undefeated in his entire life, never lost a round in the gym. Guy used to wrestle bears. Bottom line is, we'll hear from Khabib in a bit. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is the Saturday edition. That means that boxing's PhD Socrates Palmer is on board, of course. And Sock, based on last week's performance from Mr. Lopez, he wants to fight again in January. He talks about this new attitude of fighters. Like, he says this new generation of fighters is going to take over and try to throw it back to old school. He's got a good rap. Is there any possibility he can, do you really think he can light such a flame to where he can make, himself an institution per se?
Well, he, as far as being the lightning rod in the division and being the money fighter, the guy that people will make the most, risk reward, it's possible. I mean, it's, in terms of marketability, you still would have to put Ryan Garcia at the top of the class in terms of just overall money making potential, but he may be the worst out of all of them. You know, I would probably, if I was ranking guys, I would probably put him probably fourth behind Lopez, Tank, Haney, and he'd probably come in about four. So at the end of the day, you know, the proof is in the pudding, and Lopez's style is very fan friendly. He knocks out most of his opponents. And he is very braggadocious. And I think him being conquering Lomachenko, he seems to have a solid foundation at home. I hope there's no distractions, how he handles his newfound fame. I think the sky's the limit for him. And, you know, he talked about maybe jumping up to 140 pounds. Someone even mentioned him going up against some sort of super fight against Terrence Crawford. He's not short on courage and being brash. So who knows? At the end of the day, it's all done in the ring. So
Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz going to hook it up, of course, in a week. Leo Santa Cruz is biting off a lot there size-wise, but he doesn't seem to be, how can I put this, intimidated. I would be.
Listen, I'm, you know what? Tank Davis inside the ring is an animal. You know, and I don't mean a squirrel. You know, he is a beast. He's got fast hands. He could punch. You know, he's got everything. His biggest flaw is his height, and maybe gets exposed against other fighters. But you know, he's explosive. You know, and Santa Cruz has had a really good career. You know, if you look at the guys he's fought, Carl Frampton and Mahrez, he's fought, you know, the best fighters of his era. But I think it's a big step up in weight class and in class completely. Now, the question is, will Tank make the weight? You know, I think that's still 50-50.
He's a young guy. I think he'll make the weight without a doubt. And speaking of young guys, Ryan Garcia got wrapped this week.
Nobody hurt me, but I know who hurt you, bum, goofy. Remember this? Roddy Romero f***ed you up in sparring. Is this you, Ryan Garcia? Is this you getting touched up? Is this you bleeding? Is this you running? Because it sure the looks like you. Your promoter, Oscar De La Fishnet, don't even believe in you. Do you want proof? Here you go.
Ryan ready for Tank?
No. Oscar,
Tank is a beast.
Tank is a beast, and you're an Instagram thot. Remember that.
Listen, Ryan Garcia wants to fight you.
No, the he don't.
And Ryan Garcia can beat Rolly. I give him 200,000 cash.
Are you ever going to pick up that 200 from Floyd? Or do you want to stay ducking? Because you know you got little boys and little girls as your main fan base. You a bum.
Little rough on, little rough on Ryan Garcia, but then in that video it did show him getting rocked around there. And Ryan Garcia does have a fan base. Basically a whole lot of girls, a couple million girls. But at the end of the day, he's the draw. He might be the draw, but, you know, I think that all these guys calling each other out with these little videos and this kind of stuff, because Davis has been pretty vocal as well. The only one not talking any smack is Leo Santa Cruz, but Davis has been talking. Haney's been trying to talk a little bit. Of course, nobody gets to Haney too much unless you get him by email. That's the only way you can hear from Devin Haney is if he emails you.
Hey, you know what? This is the era that we live in. I wonder how publicists are going to have careers, you know, because with social media, these guys don't need anybody. They, you know, they're their own promoters, in fact. And, you know, Rolly Romero, after watching him fight on Showtime
a couple
months back, I didn't say, you know what? Hey, Pedro, when's the next time Rolly Romero's going to fight? You know, I don't think I'm, you know, he looked extremely ordinary, getting a gift against a Dominican fighter that he fought. But hey, he has the receipts. You know, he apparently put the beats on Ryan Garcia in sparring. I haven't seen Ryan respond to it. You know, it's kind of hard to deny a video, but it's sparring. You know, I'm not going to take too much into it.
True, but let's be honest. Raleigh Martinez beat Jackson Martinez, and Jackson Martinez, I thought, won that fight going away. I was absolutely stunned that some of the judges had 118, 110, 115, 113, and 116, 112. In fact, it was a sad day for boxing, I thought, with that decision. Didn't you think so?
It was straight robbery. That robbery really angers you because the kid that got the bad decision, he didn't make any money in that fight. So he busts his ass for weeks training, and he gets his, you know, chance to be on TV, and then he gets, you know,
denied.
He gets it with no Vaseline. Yeah, it's horrible.
You know, and I tried to explain this to boxing fans or fight fans over the radio is that imagine playing blackjack and you get a king and an ace, which means you got the blackjack. I mean, this is it, man. Blackjack, you throw it down. Nobody can beat you. No. Wait. This guy with a 17 ends up beating you. And you're saying to yourself, wait, how does a 17 beat blackjack? Well, when there's bad judging, that's what happens in boxing. I'm not saying that bad judging is prevalent. I'm trying to say that it does happen at times. And, you know, going back at last week's fight, everybody said to me, oh, the judges. You're trying to tell me that all three judges scored the first seven rounds for Teofimo Lopez, that all three of them from three different sides of the ring saw it all for him and that there was something up? You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. I mean, I'm getting texts right now, a couple of texts right now. All that fight, the decision smelled at the end. Nothing smelled at the end. The right guy won, no doubt about that. Anyway, Socrates, Lopez, 16 and zip. Lomachenko, 14-2. Davis, 23-0. Devin Haney, 24-0 with an asterisk. Richard Comey, of course, he's going to, 29-3, and he was taken out by, he was taken out in this last fight. How about this guy, Dennis Berenchek? Can he fight? He's 14 and zip. I mean, outside of these top four or five guys, is there anybody else for these guys to feast on?
Well, I wouldn't disregard Richard Comey. I think Comey is still a very good fighter. I mean, he got beat by the best, you know, and I think if he fought some of these younger, unproven guys like Garcia or Haney, that's going to be a tough night for either one of them, and I would probably make him the favorite. A lot depends on Lomachenko. If he wants to keep on fighting, he's obviously still would be in the mix. And, you know, with Lopez talking about going up in weight, who knows? You know, if he wants to continue to stay at 135 pounds. But the fight to make the best fight in boxing would be Lopez and Tank Davis. And then whoever wins, the world is their oyster. You know, they could go up in weight, do whatever they want. It's nice to see an undisputed champ. The last time, was it Pernell Whitaker? When he knocked out, is it Nazario?
You know, when he knocked out Nazario, like with one punch, he knocked out Juan Nazario. Pernell Whitaker never scored a one punch knockout in his life, but much like me, when I knocked out Herbert Myers, I knocked him out, but Herbert had a glass jaw. You know what I'm saying? I put Herbert was like asleep for a long time, but he had a glass jaw. Nazario didn't have a glass jaw. Just that Pernell put that perfect punch on him from the southpaw stance.
You know, it's funny. Pernell, when he had to get the knockout, he did it a couple of times. I remember he fought that Jewish fellow, I can't remember his name, and he didn't look good, and he stopped him, and then he knocked out Diabello Hurtado.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you sit down on your shots and deliver them, things happen.
Leverage, baby, leverage. The great Socrates Palmer, boxing's true PhD, exclusively Saturdays on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Sock, have a great week.
You too, brother. Thank you. All the best.
We're talking Khabib Nurmagomedov, of course, next up on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, MMA in the world of the UFC on Sports Byline.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Happy birthday, Richard Bean. He wrote this song, Suavecito, back in like 1971, 72. Get this. The band was Malo, of course, which featured George Santana, who recently died. He is the brother of Carlos Santana. But it was sort of like Santana B. I'm talking about Malo. And, of course, they came out with this hit, and they got rid of Richard Bean before the song became a hit. So they were touring around the country for decades without Richard Bean playing the song. But the bottom line is he gets the royalties. Happy birthday, Richard Bean, Mr. Suavecito. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, tonight, Khabib Nurmagomedov, 28-0, taking on Justin Gaethje, 22-2. Justin's a good fighter, there's no doubt about it. He can punch, and I think the only chance to beat Khabib is to hit him on that chin of his, that big old square chin of his. But, you know, at the end of the day, Khabib isn't 28-0 for nothing.
Khabib, fight number 29. When you look back at past opponents, do you feel like you faced anyone similar to Justin Gaethje?
When I watch all my opponents, I think... Like before UFC, I fight like this opponent because in Russia they have a lot of great wrestlers. I fight with a lot tough guys in Russia. But in UFC, I think he's special. He's special. He knows how to wrestle, very good kick, very good left hook, you know, big heart. He never give up. If you want to beat him, you have to make him sleep, you know, and I think he's tough.
In terms of the striking, you just mentioned some of the tools that he has, but he's also a very active striker. Mm-hmm. So how do you prepare for something like that on the feet, and what are your visions for how this could be in terms of the stand-up?
Like, same time, he's a great striker, but same time, he eat a lot of punch too, you know? I'm going to give him this. I'm going to give him a lot of jab, my overhand, you know, body shot. I have something what to prepare for him in this camp too, you know, not only wrestling or take him down, give him ground and pound. I have something in stand-up too for him because he eat a lot of shit too.
Yeah. In terms of the wrestling, though, we can't talk about your fights mm-hmm. without talking about wrestling. Mm-hmm. And there have been a lot of there's been a lot of talk as well about his wrestling capabilities. But what's the difference here? What will the biggest difference maker be in terms of the grappling matchup?
Big difference. My wrestling is never stop. My wrestling. I'm gonna keep forward. I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna give him hard time. You know. I'm going to make him tired. I'm gonna take his soul. This is what I want. You know. I really want make tired his body, and choke him out. This is my plan. You know. I know it's gonna be very hard to make him quit mentally. But I don't need his mental or something like this. I just want to beat this guy, make him tired, and defend my title third time.
Yeah. All right. Prediction of a submission. But before I let you go, Khabib, you know, 2020 has been a challenging year. In terms of what you've learned about yourself through this training camp, what really comes to mind?
A lot of things motivate me. It was a very hard year for me. And right now, I already make weight. I just have to be focused tomorrow night, and that's it. Don't lose my focus and beat this guy. Be here, and for me, it's big motivation because when what happened with my father four and a half months ago, I really don't know I want to fight or no. But right now, I'm here. I finish my camp. I make weight, and tomorrow night, I have great opponent to improve my legacy one more step.
Or did he make weight? A big controversy there as far as Khabib making the scale. The first they announced him over, then they announced him at. Bottom line is a little controversy involved. Of course, here's a guy that gains 25 or 30 pounds after the weigh-in. So Justin Gaethje has a severe size disadvantage against him. And I told you before, size matters in two things. Pornography and combat sports. The interim champion, Justin Gaethje, 20-2. Khabib Nurmagomedov undefeated in his lifetime. Robin Whittaker is going to take on Jason Kerrigan in a middleweight bout. It's 185 pounds. And Alexander Volkov is going to take on Walt Harris. I love that name, Walt Harris, because he was a broadcaster here in Northern California. He died at the age of 95 a few years ago. And I had him on the show before he died. He was a great guy, Walt Harris. Mr. Roller Derby and, of course, Mr. Pro Wrestling. Of course, last week, wow, the UFC rock and rolled as well. Talk about the Korean Zombie. Big time favorite, coming in almost a 2.5-3-1 favorite over Brian Ortega. Of course, the guy that I said that would become an MMA guy until he ran into Max Holloway, and he took an unbelievable beating. A beating that, where the lumps, I don't think they ever went away. I mean, that kind of beating. Anyway, he schooled the Korean Zombie over five rounds. No doubt about it. Took him to school. Scores were 50 to 45 twice and 50 to 44 once. So there was some domination obviously involved with Brian Ortega's win over the Korean Zombie. An underdog win. More power to him, the kid from L.A. I just wish him the very best in the world of combat sports. Now, we switch gears. We go to last week's fight. Of course, the lightweight championship on the line. Every belt you can, I mean, it was like 1,000 belts. Teofimo, like, needed a forklift to take the belts away from the ring last night. Of course, the ones that he won from Vasyl Lomachenko. But here's both guys post-fight.
Teo, you made history tonight at just 23-year-old, becoming the undisputed champion, all four belts. Describe the feeling.
I gotta thank God. And this is for my boy that passed away earlier this year, 2 days before Kobe passed away. May Kobe rest in peace. This is for Dione. And I had to dig deep, man. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. And each and every day I take that in. I thank God first, man, because I couldn't do it without him. I walked by faith for a reason, and I had to dig in there. And now it feels good.
In that 11th round, right before you came out for the 12th, your father said, you've got the victory. Just go out there and box. But you didn't do that. Why?
I'm a fighter. I got to dig in deep. I know he was coming. I can't give him that. I don't know if they got him up on the scorecards or not. And I love to fight. I could bang, too. I don't care, man. I'll take one to give one. And that's what a true champion does. I come out there and I find a way to win.
You and your father called for this fight, and you were supremely confident that you saw something in Lomachenko that you could exploit. What was it?
Honestly, you just gotta keep pressuring him. Keep putting the gas on him, and then all you gotta really do, man, is stick the jab. Don't really give him that opportunity to set up. And every time he did want to throw, I had something ready for him, at least something to throw. So it kind of stops his momentum. And, you know, on top of that, he's been on a 14-month layoff. I knew it was going to take a long time for him to catch up.
Now, you've got all the belts at lightweight.
Yeah.
You said you want all the biggest challenges, all the biggest names.
Yeah.
So what is that you want next?
Man, take me to 140. I could go and get, or I could fight, the two-time email world champion, Devin Haney, if they want that, I love messing with everybody, man. But all it is, man, the takeover, man, it's time for the new generation to come up. And it was me to lead the way for everybody. Shakur Stevenson, who else? Edgar Belanga, Jose Vargas, so many cats out there, man, they're ready to take over the world.
The takeover continues. He just outboxed the best boxer in the world. Back to you, Joe.
Thank you very much.
We're going to Disney World!
He told us the other day he was going to say that if he became the undisputed champion of the world. There he is, 23 years old. 23 years old. He just dedicated that to his dear friend, Dione Ramirez, who passed away this year. He's a very thoughtful young man. Let's get to Mark Kriegel.
Vasily, you're a great champion, a courageous one. But what was the difference tonight?
Я не знаю, я, честно говоря, думал, что по ходу поединка, половину боя, половину поединка, да, у нас где-то было равное, может быть, где-то он выигрывал на 1-2 раунда, но после второй половины я включился, и, в принципе, вторую половину я считаю, что я забрал. Я как бы хочу приехать домой, пересмотреть поединок, но я не согласен с решением.
I think in the first half of the fight, yeah, he got more rounds than I did. But then in the second half of the fight, I took it over, and I was much better. But I wanted to go home and to review the fight, to see it. I can't concentrate now much about it. But I'm not agreeing with the scorecard.
Vasily, do you believe you won this fight tonight?
Да, на данный момент, да, я думал, что я выигрываю. Ну, думал, что я выиграю, но результат есть результат, поэтому я с ним спорить сейчас не собираюсь.
At the moment, I think and I thought, yes, I'm winning a fight, but results is a result. I'm not going to argue right now. I need to see what's going to review.
Vasily, again, you're a great champion. Where do you go from here?
Right now, I come back home, and after that, I talk with my promoter, with my manager, and we discuss, and we'll make a decision.
But I didn't put a rematch clause in the contract because I was so cocky and so confident and thought I would just go in there and all I had to do was put up my gloves and hold them up and I would win the fight. No. Guess what? King Teo didn't come to lay down, baby. He didn't come to lose. The takeover has begun. Whether you want to believe it or not, The takeover has begun. Vasyl Lomachenko believes it. Believe me, he believes it. His fans, what can I say? 14-2, that might be the end of his career. Today in boxing history, about October 24th, 1979, Akita, Japan. Ayub Kaluli wins the WBA junior middleweight title with a 15-round decision over a Japanese guy by the name of, get this right, Masahai Kudo. Of course, that was a 154-pound title he would later lose to none other than Sugar Ray Leonard. 1989, Bismarck, North Dakota. I did some of those fights up there in North Dakota with Virgil Hill. Virgil knocked out James the Heat Kinchin in one round. What was going on with Kinchin that day? Good Lord. Of course, stepping up to 175 from 160 pounds. Big difference. That's the biggest jump in all of boxing is from 160 to 175. It's like a huge jump. I mean, huge. I mean, incredibly big. And of course, he didn't last too long. One round knockout victim was James Aheen Kitchen. Of course, good guy. Had that fight with Tommy the Hitman Hearns. Probably beat Hearns in that fight for the WBO title in Las Vegas and didn't get the decision. I was there that day. I thought he won. And I told Emmanuel afterwards, you know, I thought the Heat might have got that one, and Emmanuel didn't say anything. So bottom line is he knew. 1992, Portland, Maine. Tony the Tiger Lopez, not the Leopard, the Tiger Lopez, KO-11, Joey Gamache wins the WBA lightweight title. Of course, Tony the Tiger Lopez out of Sacramento, California, a guy that I spent a lot of time around as a pro and as an amateur, but as a pro, good Lord, he was the IBF 130-pound champion. He won a title at 130 pounds, not once, but twice. He fought guys like Jorge Maromero Paez, record box office gates in Sacramento, California, that I think were broken, that broke a Muhammad Ali record. I kid you not. I think it's been broken since then by the Shane Mosley, Oscar De La Hoya fight, or maybe one of the fights at the Staples Center. But outside of that, man, that fight was like the record breaker for a long time. And when you look at Tony, now he's a bail bondsman, he's a bail bondsman, and he hunts people down. He's a bounty hunter. I kid you not. He offered me a gig a couple years ago and being an ex-cop. He says, hey, how'd you like to do some bounty hunting with me? I said, yeah, you're mine. I mean, who would want to go? Anyway, that's what Tony the Tiger Lopez is doing. Of course, Tony the Tiger Lopez, a good fighter. Nah, not the greatest fighter in the world, man, but he sure did get it done. Tony brought it, baby. He brought it. No doubt about that. And when he lost that Molina fight, the second Molina fight, I think I televised that on FNN Sports. And that was a bit of an upset up there in Sacramento when he couldn't make the weight. He lost the fight and he came back and beat Molina, I think in Reno. Yeah, in Reno or Lake Tahoe. So, I mean, Tony Lopez, he was a comeback kid. No doubt about that. Props to him. And now a bail bondsman. Check him out. Tony Lopez, bail bonds, Sacramento, California. October 25th. We might as well go into tomorrow's history as well. Greg Page, born in Louisville, Kentucky in 1958. Of course, Greg's the late WBA champion from Louisville, Kentucky. Of course, fought in Kentucky and fell down in a ring which had no padding on it. He hit his head on the steel end of the ring and, of course, suffered permanent brain damage, and he was never the same. I went to a fundraiser for him in Freeport, Illinois with with Gerald McClellan, Lisa McClellan threw that together, and Greg Page was there, and he remembered me from the Johnny Taco days, of course, us training together at Johnny Taco's gym, a ringside gym at Maine and Charleston in Las Vegas, Nevada. He was always like the jokester of the group. I mean, he was always cracking jokes. He was always with innocent jokes. I mean, other guys were mean, like Michael Dokes was mean. Michael Dokes was a mean, mean man, but Greg Page was one of the nicest guys you've ever met in your entire life. You know, it was really sad to see him there in the wheelchair and not being able to take care of himself, but his wife took good care of him at the end, but may he rest in peace. Talk about Greg Page. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we come to you live Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time on the same channels right here, Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. And, of course, we come to you via podcast, via your favorite podcast. But we do our podcast at Anchor.com. iTunes has got them as well. But the bottom line is you can always check out the Ring Talk broadcast at Anchor.com. Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The podcasts are there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Little Al Wilson, show and tell. Show it to me, baby. T.O. did.
Arms that long to lock you inside every day and every night. Girl, and here is the soul of which you've taken control. Can't you see I'm trying to show love is right?
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
My boys harmonizing, of course, the Mighty Tower of Power tonight. As I speak, coming to you live from Dubai, the World Lightweight Championship will take place in just about, I guess, an hour or so. I'm talking about Khabib Nurmagomedov, of course, taking on Justin Gaethje. Nurmagomedov is probably about a 3-1 favorite. Most people probably think he's like a 5-1 favorite. Bottom line is his father just died. That's added motivation. And I worry for Justin Gaethje's health. But he can punch, so he's got that puncher's chance. Tomorrow, on the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, I'm talking about Sunday, October 25th, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Of course, coming to you from Sports Byline Studios. Kenny Rainford, our guy from the U.K., he never retired as a cruiserweight, but he's a trainer. He's a boxing guy. And, of course, he'll tell us some boxing news from the U.K. and Europe and that kind of good stuff. So we'll spend some time with him tomorrow. And, of course, the retired HBO Godfather will spend some time with us as well. Talking about the Hall of Famer Larry Murch. Of course, Larry was like a little blown away by Teofimo Lopez's performance. So he didn't think it was an 11-1 fight, but he definitely thought that Teofimo Lopez won the fight going away. If you win the first 7 rounds, you don't have to win any more rounds in a 12-round fight to win a fight. You just don't have to. Unless Vasyl Lomachenko came back and won 5 2-point rounds. He didn't do that. I'm talking about at the end, he won 4 of the last 5 rounds, I think, on my scorecard. So I give him props for that. He came back strong, but it was a little bit too late. That's all it was worth, a little bit too late. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, the MMA. 35, 36, make that 37 plus years now. I'm knocking out all bums. Don't forget, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on Sports Byline or any of the stations you happen to be listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on right now. Saturday and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live at Ring Talk Worldwide.